morning. Our opening hymn for this day is hymn number 581. We will sing verses 1 and 2 in hymn number 581. I'll invite you to stand as we sing together.
Praise God.
In the sanctuary, praise God in the mighty firmament. Praise God for mighty deeds. Praise God according to surpassing greatness. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with clanging cymbals. Praise God with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise God. Praise God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the fourth chapter of Philippians. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
And this also from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we indeed do praise you. We give you thanks for your love that holds us, that guides us, that heals us, that sends us. Thank you for your love that opens us up to our true selves, that helps us to be ourselves and to be your children, and yes, even to be your light in this world. I pray that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, let them be pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are many incredible things about being a pastor. For me, one of the finest is the privilege of being a part of a baptism. It never gets old. And be it holding a little one or an older person, when they come forward and you see their heart of faith, when you realize this gift of love that has so claimed them, that they want to step and live in it, and live it even more fully. I'm very blessed to be a dad, and to have two wonderful daughters, and I will never forget their baptism day. And the feeling of coming forward and knowing that this is something that I'm bringing them to. This unconditional love that holds them, that they aren't even fully aware of, that they're going to live into, and that together with their mother, we're going to walk alongside them. What a wonderful thing. So I baptized Kaya Louise Anderson this weekend. Beautiful little girl. I'd married her parents, Jenna and Steve. Jenna's a young lady that I had literally watched her grow up from when she was a little one. I didn't baptize her, but I'd been in her life nearly that long. To stand there and to see, and to be so full of pride and just love, to see these parents with this little one. As a part of the baptismal liturgy, it's so powerful to me as they're baptizing, and they often will mark the cross on the forehead of the little one. You've been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. And I will tell you, it is also a privilege being a pastor to preside over the funerals of saints. It's not easy. It is very difficult. But this promise we have in baptism, this gift of our God who holds us and never lets us go, is so powerful when you sit there and you realize that the full of our lives are held by this love. As a part of the baptismal liturgy, there's also a time where a candle is lit, and it's given to the family, to the little one, and it's the words are reminded of this passage from Matthew. Let your light so shine before others, that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father in heaven. We already know that the love that holds us is unconditional. The things that we do, the good works that we do them not to earn this love or to have this love, right? So what then is the purpose of these things we do? These kind words we speak to each other, these bold stances we take for the sake of another. What is the purpose of these good works that we do? It is to be light. To shine in a way that helps others see clearly. And when we do these things, we glorify God. This love holds us and it sets us free to be ourselves. You've heard that said to you before. I know my mentors would say to me anytime I would ask them for advice, they'd say, hey Grady, just be yourself. And I know for sure it's been words that I've spoken probably to some of you because it's been really useful. Not try to be somebody else. Just be you. But how exactly do we do this? How? First is this. In order to be yourself, you have to find yourself. Pretty obvious thing to say to begin with self-discovery, to direct our discovery inward. Yet there are many who look to find themselves not inwardly, but externally, through others. We want to say, who am I? What do you think I'm good at? What should I do with my life? And I remember being so frustrated walking out of the office of one of my mentors. And I actually think I just said, just tell me what I'm supposed to do already. Like, I'm sick of this. Quit asking me questions. Just give me the answer. And while it can be very helpful to get input from trusted family members and friends, the truth is that this journey to find oneself is ultimately not something others can do for you. And in fact, others who love you will really frustrate you by not doing this for you. Self-discovery is not easy. In fact, sometimes it can be painful. And I wish it were a quick process, but it's not. I invited a friend to come to a church I was serving to speak to a crowd of adults that had been gathered. And my friend was somebody I respected greatly, but he started kind of down a path that I was kind of getting a little embarrassed. It was sort of cheesy. He said, I want everybody in the room. He passed out paper. I want everybody in the room to write down your top 10 values. And I'm just like, okay, here we go. So I, for some reason, I played along. I wrote down real values. And then he said, now what I want you to do is I want you to circle your top three. So I circled the top three. And then he asked a question. He said, who in this crowd are parents? And I had been a parent for almost a year, and for some crazy reason, I didn't raise my hand. I don't know why. I wasn't ashamed. I just, like, oh, that's right. I'm a parent. Yeah, my hand's up. And he said, for those of you that are parents, what are you doing to intentionally model those values? It was a game changer for me. Now, I'd like to tell you that I figured a lot of this stuff out in my 18 to 22 slice of my life, and I did. And it's something I'm so thankful for my Gustavus family here and the people in my life who helped me. But even at that point in my life, I was still figuring it out, still really answering kind of what are my values? What are my skills? What are my interests? Authenticity and integrity occur when our values align with our actions. And there is pain when we find ourselves and realize that we do not like where we are at. When we see that we are not on a good road, we're not living up to the values as we'd like to live them. Maturity occurs as we wrestle with the areas in our lives where our values are out of alignment with, where our actions are out of alignment with our values. And the person who we want to be is not showing up, at least not consistently. On Friday, we had in this space our International Student Honor Day. And there's a reading from Friday that I'm still reflecting on. And the ending of it, I just want to share. Said he read a lot and became a scholar, but he never read himself. He goes to enter the temple and mosque, but he never entered his own heart. He fights with the devil every day for nothing. He never wrestled with his own ego. He grabs for heavenly flying things, but he doesn't grasp the one who's sitting at home. To be ourselves, we gotta find ourselves. Take a good long look in the mirror. I'm sure you've heard that phrase. But have you ever really done it? And not in a vain way. But have you ever stood in front of the mirror and just really looked at yourself in the face? Look deeply into your own eyes. I do not know about you, but sometimes I can be my worst critic, the yuckiest bully in the room. My grandpa used to say, don't compare yourself. The minute you start, you're going down one of two bad roads. And I apologize for most of you that have heard me, you know, give you that, my grandpa's words. I'm sorry. But it's true. As I've lived my life, you know, you're either going down the road where you're comparing yourself to another and you think you're better than them. Or you're comparing yourself to another and you think you're not good enough, that you're less than. Did you know that it hurts God when we rip on ourselves? That what we think is self-talk in the mirror or to ourselves is not conversation that's not being heard. And I'm not talking about those moments when we're honest and acknowledge the ways in which we are off track. I'm talking about those moments when we are looking in the mirror and the person that we are looking down on is the one staring back at us. For whatever reason, you're too tall, you're too short, skinny, you're kind of heavy. Maybe it's the color of your hair, or your eyes, or your skin. Maybe it's the shape of your eyes, your face, your nose, your mouth. Maybe it's the way that you sing, or the way you dance, or the way you run. If you were all kindergartners, and if I were to say, who here is able to dance? Everyone of your hands would go up. Who here can sing? Everyone of your hands would go up. And if I'd say, there's a microphone, come on up here and sing. When did we lose our enthusiasm for being goofy? When did we lose our courage to be great? The self-talk, I think it hurts God when we rip on ourselves. God made you, and when God was finished, God didn't say you were good. God said you are very good. So let's reframe this self-talk. You are the light of the world. How can we expect to love others if we do not love ourselves? So to be ourselves is to find ourselves and to, yes, accept ourselves. To give ourselves, to believe the good news that God loves us. And we know our faith isn't, it may be personal, but it's not private, as some have said. And I just want to share this very personal aspect to it. Is that for me, what Jesus has taught me, what my faith means to me, is that I am lovable. That I am worth something. And it's so much more than having a self-esteem. It really is, I am loved. And I have the ability to love others. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross. I think to be yourself, we have to find ourselves. We have to accept ourselves. And I think there's part of it is denying ourselves. Saying no to the ways in which we want to just center on ourselves and become obsessed with our position and place. To follow Jesus is to live beyond the self. So you're more than a human being, you're a human becoming. There's so much that God has planned in your life and is doing through you. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine. Let your light shine before others. Be yourself so that you may glorify our God. Amen.
sing together hymn number 581, verses 3 and 4. I invite you to please stand. Hymn 581, 3 and 4.
Love and serve the Lord.